Brandy, the American Bar Association describes critical race theory as an examination of how institutionalized racism and social constructions of race continue oppression of minorities. What's your definition?
Critical race theory is one of many theories of race, and it explicitly examines the way that race and institutions interact to create systems of power and control. And so it's a way of thinking about that particular intersection and how it produces legal outcomes and also produces disparate outcomes based on one's race.
Okay, so are we talking about systemic racism, maybe something ingrained into a system that people don't even realize?
Absolutely, yes. And that is what those who initially started thinking about and writing about critical race theory tried to center in their analysis.
So what is it, Brandy, that has some people so upset about the term critical race theory? You're talking about systemic racism, whether it's sentencing laws or racial steering or education issues, that type of thing. What is it that people find so upsetting about the term critical race and the examination of systemic racism?
Well, there's an immediate cause, and then there is an underlying cause. When we think about the immediate cause, this has been sort of a hot-button topic ever since former President Trump decided to attack critical race theory back in the fall and try to prohibit federal government agencies from mentioning it or using it in any way during race-based diversity training. It really piqued the interest of a lot of people who had never even heard of it before simply because he did that. And from there grew this sort of public outrage based largely on myth around critical race theory. And so it's difficult to separate fact from fiction once a dominant narrative has taken over. And that is what has happened with critical race theory. It is now used synonymously with any form of acknowledgement of race, any mention of diversity, any mention of inclusion. It's now all just critical race theory. And that couldn't be further from the truth. But it's the dominant narrative. And so I think that is what is affecting a lot of people. But the underlying cause is that it's part of the broader spectrum of the difficulties of discussing race in our society. This has always been a very tough, tough topic, especially for those who are classified as white. And so it's continuing that long history of our refusal to acknowledge and then deal with this construct of race.
We're talking with Brandy Faulkner, the Virginia Tech Gloria D. Smith Professor of Africana Studies and a faculty member. Brandy, if you can't acknowledge some of these things about racism, is it hard to move forward as a society?
Well, when we think about moving forward, it's difficult to imagine how we can move forward if we don't seriously think about the construct of race, acknowledge how it has controlled so much of our thinking in all areas of activity. I'm thinking back to a comment that Justice Blackmun made in his Supreme Court opinion in California versus Bakke. He said, in order to get beyond racism, we must first take account of race. There is no other way. And I think the truth behind that statement is obvious. It's 2021, and we're still dealing with this because we have yet to take account of race and its effect in our lives.
You know, Virginia is going to start incorporating some more information about slavery in America into its school curriculum this fall, but there are some school superintendents falling over backwards to not to use that term or to say that it's not critical race theory. What is it about that term that has some people so upset? Is it about an acknowledgement that racism in this country has been systemic in the past? If the term critical race theory never came up, would this be easier for some people to deal with?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Critical race theory is a theoretical framework that you sometimes see applied in legal analysis. Other disciplines have adapted it. The core ideology comes from legal analysis. What you won't see is critical race theory being taught in most public schools. And that's because, quite frankly, K-12 education isn't designed for that level of critical thinking and analysis. They're mostly trying to get students to add 2 + 2 or identify the plot structure in a Shakespeare play. So the parents' hysteria over critical race theory is awkward and it's unfounded. And so, yes, if that term weren't being attached to every single effort that so much as mentions race, we would not be having this discussion.
We're talking with Brandy Faulkner from Virginia Tech. You know, some politicians and people running for office around here, Brandy, say we need to focus on teaching school kids what's great about America, not that it is or has been racist. But isn't it confusing when kids learn about slavery and segregation and Jim Crow laws and voting rights issues to say that there hasn't been systemic racism?
That's exactly right. There is no way to adequately teach children or any other age about the major topics in society without teaching them about race. Race is such a foundational construct for the country. And so much of what we do involves at least some analysis of race. And simply wiping it away from the discussion doesn't mean that it goes away. Racism doesn't go away simply because we refuse to acknowledge it, because we refuse to talk about it, or because we refuse to teach about it. And it's interesting because the children intuitively know that. They're able, as they learn and grow, to acknowledge explicitly what they see going on around them. And so they're going to have a whole lot of questions if we continue to act as though racism is not a prominent feature of our culture.
We're talking with Brandy Faulkner, the Virginia Tech Gloria D. Smith Professor of Africana Studies. Just to sort of wrap up, can we really come to grip with our past, Brandy, if we don't acknowledge that there has been systemic racism in the past, even as we recognize and maybe celebrate that in some ways we've worked to chip away at that?
It's not possible. It is absolutely not possible. We must talk about it. We must acknowledge it. And even further, we must understand its effects because we are trying, at least in this moment, to figure out how to do better. And you can't figure out how to do better unless you really understand what has already happened, where we've been, and where we still need to go.
I'm just wondering, Brandy, with some people, if we put the impacts of racism, whether it's systemic or not, into everyday life and show how it affects socioeconomic factors, how it affects education, how it affects economic development, things like that, would this be easier for some people to deal with and to understand?
We may do a little better with some people, but that really isn't the core of the issue. This isn't just about us using terms and phrases that people may not be familiar with or may not understand. We are dealing with a resistance to understanding what racism actually is. Even just the term racism, which we would assume has been so widely used over time that people would at least be somewhat comfortable with it, is a source of controversy for many. Some who say, well, no, let's just not talk about it. It's a thing of the past, and we're beyond it now. And they don't want to understand the ways in which racism still affects us. So it's not just about the terminology. There is just a core resistance to bringing up painful things. And until we grapple with that, I fear that no matter what we call it, people will still resist talking about it. There are so many states right now that are proposing legislation to ban these types of discussions. I'm just wondering what effect it's going to have overall on education and concepts like academic freedom. You know, what are teachers supposed to do if the state legislatures are telling them they can no longer talk about race? To not understand something is fine, but to intentionally spread misinformation about it while not trying to understand it, that's the real tragedy here.